Psalm chapter 99 in your copies of the Scriptures. Psalm chapter 99. We're going to be looking at the subject of trembling before the presence of the Lord. Psalm chapter 99. Let's read verses 1 through 9. Let's read it together, shall we, in unison. Psalm chapter 99. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the peoples. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God, Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance on their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. The theme of this psalm, Psalm chapter 99, is summed up in its last phrase, you'll notice, in verse 9. Notice it says here in Psalm 99, the Lord our God is holy. Let's take a look at verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Do you tremble before the presence of the Lord when He speaks? You know, I think of people in the Word of God that are exemplified by their attitude of trembling before the presence of the Lord. Isaiah saw his utter sinfulness before an holy God, didn't he? When he saw God high and lifted up. And he fell upon his face and said, I am a man of unclean lips, and he trembled before the Lord. The Apostle John, you recall in Revelation 1 and verse 17, as we studied Sunday evening in our series, when he saw the Lord, he lost all of his physical strength when God spoke to him and he fell upon his knees. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 4, when the Apostle Paul met the Lord, on the road to Damascus, he fell to the ground in humility and in fear. Moses trembled when God spoke to him through the burning bush. Peter, after a fruitless night of fishing, in the book of Luke chapter 5, experienced the Lord's provision. And the Lord filled his nets. But then the Bible says he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I sometimes ask myself, why is it that we so fail to tremble when God speaks to us? Could it be that we have lost the fear of the Lord? When we can hear messages from the Word of God and it not change our lives? When you approach, or when I approach the Word of God, is it with a holy expectation? Listening for the life-changing words that He has for us? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Think of it. If the words of Jesus were able to raise the dead, calm the storm, cast out demons, heal the incurable, what effect might a word from Him have in your life and in my life, if we will take it in? Next time we open up the Word of God, let's have a holy expectation. And also be willing to say, Lord, whatever you speak to me about, I'm willing to obey with a godly fear. Here in Psalm 99, we have a twofold emphasis. In verses 1 through 5, we're going to note the exaltation of the king's holiness. We have exaltation, but then in verses 6 through 9, we have examples of the king's holiness. Let's take a look at verses 1 through 5 at the exaltation of the king's holiness. We're going to be looking at several things, five things regarding this exaltation of our Lord in His holiness. We're going to look at His presence, first of all. It says, you'll notice in verse 1, that He sits between the cherubim. Now, cherub is one angel. The cherubs, cherubim is plural. Actually, it's kind of a King Jamesism that we would put an S on it because the I-M makes it plural already. The hymn writer calls them cherubs in order to go with the music. I forget what hymn it is that mentions cherubs, but it's cherubim, actually, is the plural. Whether you're speaking English or Hebrew, it should be cherubim. Cherub and cherubim. And when it says that He sits between the cherubim, that's kind of like the imagery of the Ark of the Covenant, you recall, which was a symbol of God's presence. And the top of the Ark had the images of two cherubim that sat on top, each facing each other. And the cherubim are those, the highest in the hierarchy of angels, the cherubim are those that guard the presence of God. And here He is said, let the earth tremble. He sits between the cherubim, the highest order of angels. And their task is to guard His presence. So we see His presence in verse 1. And I want you to notice His power in verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. We're living in a day when people are humanizing God. And people, even in Christian music, are making the doctrines regarding God, trivializing the doctrines of God. But He is great in Zion, among His people in Mount Zion, and He's high above all of the people. His presence between the cherubim, His power, He is great. Notice His praise. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name. You know, something that's terrible, when I say something is terrible, the idea that you get in your mind is what? If something is very distasteful, something that you want to avoid. But the word terrible, actually, it's the word yare, which means awesome. It's to bring awe and majesty. And that's the concept. The Lord's name is holy and a great and awesome name. And we certainly ought not to ever take it in vain. Not only do we see His presence, His power, and His praise, but look at the latter part of verse 3. Look at His person. It says, for it is holy. His name is holy. The word holy is the Hebrew word kadesh, which means separated from sin or anything that is temporal or created. He is a God that is holy and transcendent. Some say holy other. Verse 4, notice His preeminence. Here, all as part of our first observation of the exaltation of the king's holiness. His preeminence is found in verses 4 and 5. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. He is a fair God. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Everything that God has done with His people has been just and righteous, even bringing them into captivity. And his purpose in chastising his people is always to bring them back to the place of obedience. His preeminence continues in verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God. Now let's do that in our prayers tonight. Let's worship and exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. You know, when you worship at His footstool, that means that you bow down before His presence. And notice again how many times it mentions He is holy. He is holy over and over again. We've forgotten the holiness of God. So we've seen the exaltation of our Lord the King's holiness. Now let's take a look at some examples of the King's holiness. It says in verse 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his holy name. You know, the Lord uses these men as an example to demonstrate that the Lord has had an enduring, intimate, saving relationship with Israel. And here these men are examples of that fact, that they served God and God used them. It says here in verse 7, He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. What an example to us that we might be obedient to the Lord as well, for He is holy. Verse 8 says, Thou answerest them, O Lord our God, Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. What does verse 8 mean? You know, verse 8 is an interesting scripture because there are individuals that sometimes can misunderstand forgiveness and the fruit of sin. Notice, the Lord forgave, but sometimes there are some lasting results to our sin. And it says, Lord, Thou forgavest them, and God forgave Israel, but you know what? There were acts of retribution on their misdeeds. The word inventions means misdeeds. The idea being that they suffered the fruit of wrongdoing. But notice verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at His holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. You know, the holy hill is Jerusalem, where the temple was and where it will be located at the establishment of His kingdom. And we ought to exalt the Lord our God and worship Him. So I ask you, as we prepare to go to prayer tonight, what is your attitude at the presence of the Lord? What is your attitude? What is my attitude as we open up the pages of the Word of God? Do we have the attitude that David did? Lord, open my eyes that I might observe wondrous truths out of Thy law. Lord, as I come before Your presence, may I tremble at the truths that You provide for me, and may I seek to establish them in my life. Is that my attitude? Or do I just ignore God's Word? Never open up God's Word. Or else, when I hear it, I just forget what manner of man I was. Like the man that beholds his face in a glass, James tells us about the man who forgets what manner of man he was, and he's a hearer of the Word and not a doer. Here, the psalmist always kept before him the holiness of God, and he exalted the Lord's holiness, His presence, His power, His praise, His person, His preeminence. He always kept it before Him. May we be as Moses and Aaron and Samuel and testify to others of the holiness of God. And someday we'll all be together at that holy hill in our Lord's kingdom, worshiping and praising His name. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have of taking these moments in the Word of God. We ask ourselves, Lord, whether we have lost our fear of the Lord, whether, Lord, we have failed to tremble at the ministry and at the proclamation of Your Word. And Lord, we pause and would confess our sin of rebellion, of, Lord, obstinacy. We would confess our sin of rebellion against the Spirit of God, where we've hardened our hearts. Your Word warns us about hardening our hearts against the moving of the Spirit and the doctrines of the Word of God, lest we trodden underfoot the Son of God and the truths, the precious pearls of truths that have been provided for us. Lord, may we seek to examine our hearts even before we go to prayer tonight. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I ask You this question. What about Your concept of God? Do You see Him as a holy God? A God that hates sin? A God that desires righteousness, holy living from God's people? May God challenge us to confess, even tonight, all known sin before the presence of God, that we might come before His holy hill in prayer tonight with cleansed hearts, holy hands lifted up before the presence of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this brief psalm that we've looked at, and Lord, may it continue to speak to our hearts. And as we gather together in prayer and share our hearts together, Lord, we just pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to, Lord, guide and give efficacy to our prayers before Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.